Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
It's time for the Chicago Blackhawks postgame show on the Blackhawks Radio Network. Here's Joe Brand.
Well, I'd imagine that most of the Blackhawks and the coaching staff would just like to go ahead and forget about that game, except for one, and that would be the goaltender Dylan Wells, who came into the third period in relief of Arvid Soderblom. We're not entirely sure why Soderblom left. It is able for us to just go ahead and speculate that he was injured. Apparently on the TV side, Chris Foster had said that Arvid Soderblom was leaving for the rest of the game, so that is where we're left at right now. But that makes it three Blackhawks goaltenders leaving via injury, if that's the case. They are quite thin in the goaltending department, and saves were not thin on Winnipeg's end. Connor Hellebuyck with his 30th career save as the Hawks get shut out in Winnipeg 4-0. I'm Joe Brand. This is the Blackhawks postgame show on 720 WGN. Before they have to head on out, let's quickly bring in Kaylee Chelios over at the Canada Life Center, who was calling this game with John Weideman. And Kaylee, I was really pleased with how the way this game was going, and it goes back to what we were saying earlier, that shorthanded goal by Adam Lowry was just such a table turner in this game. And when a team like Winnipeg is streaky right now and they're good, it's tough to turn that all around, and the Blackhawks definitely had their hands full today.
It's an afternoon game. Maybe the Hawks were due a little bit for a game like this. They haven't had one, you know, maybe since the opener against Colorado, in similar circumstances where the team capitalized with four power play goals. So in this instance, there was a shorthanded one thrown in there, but you're right. I think after that shorty, which was an unfortunate break for Caleb Jones, who I thought responded really well. I mean, he didn't let that impact him after the game. He was still given 110% after that, and it shows from Luke Richardson, who put him right back out the next shift. John made a great point about what that would mean, you know, for Caleb to do that despite having turned the puck over that led to that opportunity. So tough break for the Hawks. They'll turn the page, and maybe a good thing that they have a few days of practice now to kind of work out some of the kinks in their game before heading out west on the road.
I like your tweet too. Jake McCabe handed Dylan Wells a puck after the game for his NHL debut. He stopped 12 of 13 shots. I mean, that's the thing. No matter who's in net for the Blackhawks so far this year has been making an impact, and that even goes for Dylan Wells, the new guy today.
Absolutely. I really like the move by Richardson for a couple reasons. John had some great insight as to why he may have done that too, and I thought to start, you know, it's to send a message too to this group. A couple of those power play goals could have been prevented by getting sticks in lanes, blocking shots. I think the Hawks kind of took their foot off the gas pedal, and then when Winnipeg smelled blood, they just kept going. So I like the move by Richardson. Give the young 24-year-old goaltender who's played some games in the coast, he's been in the American Hockey League system, a chance at his first NHL game, especially with the way things were going. And the Hawks really didn't do a whole lot to get back in the game anyway, so it worked out great for Dylan Wells, his family, who I hope got to watch and catch that. It's too bad they likely weren't at the game, but really memorable moment and the bright spot to take out of this loss.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up and brought up what John had brought up. We're not quite sure why Dylan Wells went into the game. I actually thought that might have been the case, Luke Richardson just trying to shake things up, but either way, this is a 4-0 Hawks loss that they'll try to bounce back from. But like you said, 3 days off. Hopefully that'll benefit the team. Hopefully that'll benefit you guys, too. I know everyone's been kind of going and going. You get to breathe a little bit easier and go back to being supermom, huh?
Yeah, I don't know about that, but we'll see how much energy I have tonight. Halloween was last week, and it really took it out of me with the sugar rushes. So I very much hope there's no tantrums this weekend, but they're with my my in-laws, who I love dearly. But my my mother-in-law is also Auntie Candy and Grandma Candy growing up, so I'm sure they're having a grand time.
Well, and then if a tantrum does come, you know what you do? You break out the Bandino, Kate.
Oh, you're so right, Joe. I will break out the Bandino for the Hawks.
Of course.
And for the tantrum.
Of course, in all good sense. All right, Kaylee, great stuff. Safe travels, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, Joe. Have a great weekend.
You too. That is Kaylee Chelios. She and John Weideman with tonight's call, today's call, that is, some Saturday matinee hockey for you from Winnipeg over at the Canada Life Center. In a game that the Blackhawks did not score a goal, first time that they've been shut out this year, Connor Hellebuyck with his second shutout of the season, his 30th of his career, and I think John said at the broadcast his second against the Blackhawks in his career as well. We're taking you up all the way to 5:30 tonight. So if you'd like to join us, 312-981-7200, you can shoot us a call, you can shoot us a text. I'd like to hear from you because we do have a lot to get to. This was probably overall the... not the best performance by the Blackhawks, but again, it wasn't like it was a consistent 60 minutes. That's the one thing we've been talking about a lot this year. When the Blackhawks are going to be going against more talented teams, teams that are playing better, that are just built better, then it comes down to competitiveness. What type of approach, what type of enthusiasm are the Blackhawks bringing? It was right there from the get-go, but then the thing that turned everything was that shorthanded goal in the second period. And it came at a tough time, too, because the Blackhawks actually had a really good power play. The first go of it in that second period had a lot of good quality chances, just continued the pressure down low. And then it was just a rough turnover over Caleb Jones' stick in the left point. And after seeing the replay a couple of times, I'm not quite sure who passed it to him, but it wasn't obviously the best pass. So kind of difficult for Jones to settle the puck down there. And then, of course, Adam Lowry turning on the Jets, no pun intended, and getting it past Arvid Soderblom. So the Blackhawks unable to overcome that momentum by the Winnipeg Jets in the second period. Again, if you'd like to join in, 312-981-7200, already getting some very complimentary texts flying in at the moment. Joe, the Hawks have been great this year. You are not, however, so appreciate the input from the fans out there. All we're trying to do is break down these games as best we can, and no, I don't take that personally. I appreciate the feedback. This is from our buddy Tim from Urbana, calling the Hawks losers. No excuse for that. I don't think there's many excuses for today's performance. Again, it wasn't a full 60 minutes of lack of effort. It was definitely a Winnipeg overperformance in that second period when things turned around, and it made it very difficult for the Blackhawks to get back up. But now let's also point out that the Hawks are still dealing with a whole heck of a lot of injuries, not even just from the goaltending side of things. They're without Seth Jones. They're without Tyler Johnson. I don't know how many times we have to stress that, because those are two huge pieces of the offense and the defense. And for so long so far this year, other guys had been picking up a lot of the slack. One of the main consistent things of this team has been their ability to continue the hard work, the hard effort, and not so many specific role players. Everyone has been pitching in enough to keep things even. We mentioned it in the pregame show. The phrase weathering the storm has been huge for the Blackhawks lately. And that was the case, especially in this first period against the Winnipeg Jets. I mean, the Hawks didn't get off to the best start. Winnipeg had the first five shots on goal, but then all of a sudden the Blackhawks got a little bit better in the neutral zone, were able to break up some passes from Winnipeg, and then the Hawks went on to have 12 of the next 18 shots on goal to end that first period. They ended the period in favor of shots on goal, 12-11, and again, that same momentum continued into the second period and into the first power play. But then it ended up being a Jujhar Khera interference penalty that put Winnipeg on a power play. They were able to capitalize and never look back from there. In terms of the goaltending situation, not quite sure why Arvid Soderblom left. We might not know until Luke Richardson speaks with the media. And actually, there is no media out at Winnipeg today. So hopefully we do get some answers from the head coach. But again, if you'd like to join us, 312-981-7200, let's go to the phones. Jeffrey is in Lincoln Square. And he is still... Are you pleased about the goalies and team spirit there, Jeffrey? Or you think that the Hawks needed to improve that today?
Well, notwithstanding today's game, Joe, I've liked what I've seen the other parts of this year so far. I'm going to let this one slide. Bad game. Maybe the travel hurt them. Maybe it's looking forward to Hollywood. Who knows? Soderblom, he's looking great. He's going to be a stud. And I just got to say, I think this team can grind it out. And it's tough to say, I know, but I think we can challenge for a playoff spot.
Wow. Okay. You're already thinking about the playoffs right now. I think that might be a little bit too far down the line, but I do appreciate your positivity. Really quick, aside from the goalies, what has impressed you most about this team?
That they don't give up. It seems like they've all heard the noise, the anti that they got anything to even in the tank. That they got nothing. They're just tanking. They're giving up. They're calling it in. No, they're all sitting there in the locker room like the movie Major League, and they're saying, "Well, there's only one thing left to do here," and I think they're going to do that.
All right.
Surprise everybody.
All right. I appreciate the enthusiasm and positivity. Thanks a lot, Jeffrey. Again, that's Jeffrey from Lincoln Square. If you'd like to join in, 312-981-7200, you can call or you can text. I like Jeffrey's idea of letting this game slide. This is year one of a rebuild. And if this is the worst loss so far, again, four goals all coming from the special teams, without your best defenseman, without one of your top forwards, with your third string and possibly fifth string goalie, not the worst case. Again, you can let games slide if it's one game at a time in terms of a little bit of a lack of effort. You got to give Winnipeg some credit in this one. They came in very hot, 4-0-1 over their last five games. They're now 7-3-1 on the season. They are just really starting to find their groove. And you saw it when the Blackhawks gave them some opportunities. Now, especially last year, but earlier this year, the Blackhawks were getting burned and exposed a lot more on those mistakes. That did happen today, but a little bit, I do think that the Hawks were able to avoid a few more of those mistakes and a few more of those penalties that put them in a rough spot. Again, we're taking the post-game show up to 5:30 tonight. We've got a lot to get to. We're hoping to hear from Luke Richardson, maybe some explanation if it was a coaching move to pull Arvid Soderblom or if he was maybe injured. We are hoping he's not because the Hawks are already pretty thin in the goaltending department. But either way, we'd like to hear from you. 312-981-7200. Hawks get shut out in Winnipeg 4-0. You're listening to the Blackhawks postgame show on 720 WGN. Luke Richardson informing the media after the game that Arvid Soderblom told the coaching staff he wasn't feeling good after the second period. Luke Richardson, quote, "I actually don't know his status. The trainer came in after the second and said he wasn't feeling good. Hopefully he's not too bad." Again, Soderblom leaving after two periods, giving the NHL debut for Dylan Wells, who's 24 years old, just signed a two-way, I think $750,000 contract with the Blackhawks for 1 year. Just kind of an emergency situation last week when Alex Stalock went down. And then unfortunately, Soderblom went down today. Kind of a cool situation for the new young kid in Dylan Wells making his NHL debut. Seems like the feedback on Twitter is everyone's a big fan of him. We talked to him after a practice just a little bit earlier this week, and he was nothing but smiles, and I mean grin ear to ear. And it was a little unusual having him being so emotional, being so positive about it when talking about Alex Stalock going down. But it was all in good faith because apparently he and Stalock are pretty close. They were teammates both with Edmonton a few years back when Dylan Wells actually did have an NHL contract but did not make a debut. He does today, though, for the Blackhawks in the third period, and he makes 12 saves, the only goal getting through a power play goal for Winnipeg as they shut out the Hawks 4-0 today up in Winnipeg. I'm Joe Brand. This is the Blackhawks postgame show on 720 WGN. We're taking you up to 5:30 tonight, recapping this 4-0 loss. If you would like to join us, 312-981-7200. You can give us a call. You can give us a text. We will recap today's game, though, as, again, the start of this one looked pretty decent for the Hawks. Again, Winnipeg came out with the first five shots on goal. Then the Blackhawks were able to start figuring some things out, get their legs underneath them, break up some plays, and provide some offensive pressure, having 12 of the next 18 shots on goal in favor of them, keeping it scoreless through the first 20 minutes, and then carrying that momentum into the beginning of the second period as well. They did get to an early power play. That looked good. A lot of pressure, a lot of sustained pressure down low. A couple of really good looks, but they were unable to convert for their first goal. And then later on, a Jujhar Khera interference penalty put Winnipeg on the power play, and they were able to capitalize.
Scheifele, left wing circle. Down to Dubois beside the net. Back to Scheifele, left circle of the high slot. Morrissey with a drive. He scores. It's a power play goal for Josh Morrissey, who comes into the game leading the Jets in scoring. That's his first goal of the season, first on the power play. The goal at 10:04 of the second period gives the Jets a 1-0 lead.
Mentioned it earlier, the only good news about that is if you heard the FanDuel Sportsbook pregame show, we were recommending taking a Josh Morrissey point today for a payout of -124. That did collect. So did the under today of 6 goals, just 4 goals total, all of them for Winnipeg. That got you a payout of -104. So we went 2 for 3 today. Our buddy J.B. Smoove, Jimmy Nash, the producer extraordinaire, getting 2 out of 3. He did go with an Andreas Athanasiou goal for a payout of +280. That clearly did not happen. And his reasoning was he's got a lot of vowels in his last name. So that's where Jimmy Nash's research goes, and that's the extent of it. Blackhawks down 1-0 after that goal by Morrissey on a power play situation. And then it was once again the Blackhawks going on a power play. So you thought with how well their man advantage looked earlier in that period, they could carry that into the second opportunity after Sam Gagne was thrown into the box for a hooking penalty. However, it was Winnipeg turning the tables on the Hawks.
Now Caleb Jones turns the puck over. Lowry shorthanded, breaking into the Hawks zone. Fires, he scores. So Adam Lowry, he didn't have a clean breakaway into the Hawks zone, but he had a lot of room down the right wing side, and Patrick Kane was tracking back trying to defend. Lowry beat Soderblom on the stick side and low. It's a shorthanded goal. That's the first one the Hawks have surrendered this season. The Jets now lead 2-0.
And the second shorthanded goal for Adam Lowry this season. Another goal you really can't blame on Arvid Soderblom. Lowry with a good hustling effort, able to pick up the puck that jumped over Caleb Jones's stick at the left point as he was trying to keep it in the Jets zone as the Hawks had the power play. Lowry just turning on the burners, picking it up, coming in right wing, and scoring on Soderblom. So a 2-0 lead. And right after that, Kaylee Chelios had mentioned it on the broadcast that the Blackhawks' energy may have just dipped a little bit. They were riding pretty high, but then you cough up a shorthanded goal. At that point, you're thinking about tying up the game, and all of a sudden it becomes a total 180 swing, and you're down by 2 goals. That lack of energy was exposed when Taylor Radish was thrown to the box for a slashing penalty, putting Winnipeg on yet another power play, and once again, they capitalized on the special teams.
Off the draw, here's a shot by Dubois. He scores from the left wing circle of the Hawks zone. He took a pass from across the rink from Scheifele that originated along the right side boards, and Dubois was pretty much left alone in the left wing circle. Snaps it past Soderblom. Another power play goal, and it's now 3-0 in favor of the Jets.
Fifth goal of the year for Pierre-Luc Dubois, and a 3-0 lead for Winnipeg, making the Jets feel very comfortable. They finished that second period in favor of shots on goal, 24-21 overall, and 13-9 in that second period. Again, the majority of that all coming after the shorthanded goal by the Winnipeg Jets. So we moved into the third period, and as John had broken the news right after the intermission, Dylan Wells was coming into the game ready to make his NHL debut. It was a little uncertain exactly why. There was speculation that that was maybe just Luke Richardson trying to shake some things up. Again, he has been doing a pretty good job of leading this team, speaking up when he feels the need to, not overdoing it, letting the players take care of the leadership. He's said a lot that Jonathan Toews has done a great job of leading by example, always making it a team-motivated message, and not just jumping to conclusions. He's very strategic about when he wants to speak up. So there was a lot of thought that maybe Dylan Wells is coming in to try and shake some things up, try to get the concentration level back for the Hawks in the third period. Apparently, it was because Arvid Soderblom told the training staff he wasn't feeling good. Not entirely sure what that means, if that's a stomach issue, if that's something of some sort of pain. But again, he did finish the second period all by himself. So Dylan Wells comes in, just signed the two-way, one-year contract with the Hawks earlier this week. Kind of a spot start situation, or a spot appearance situation, because we had mentioned it before. Once Peter Mrazek and Alex Stalock went down for the Hawks. They had to dip into the bag of Rockford and pull out whatever goaltender was available. The first goaltender they probably would have gone for was Jackson Stauber, but he had suffered an injury last week. He had gotten a puck to the eye that got through his mask. So it ends up being Dylan Wells instead, again, the 24-year-old. So he was pretty pleased about signing the contract, obviously, and getting some NHL bucks. And now he even gets an NHL debut out of it. So he started that third period. Unfortunately, the Hawks didn't do him any favors by committing a too-many-men-on-the-ice penalty. And once again, Winnipeg was able to capitalize on a man advantage.
The other way come the Jets. Cole Perfetti, first-round draft pick of the Jets, moves it over the hot line. Fed the light circle, and a shot from Naismith. He scores. Another power play goal. The Jets are 3-for-3 on the power play and now lead the hockey game 4-0.
And all four of their goals tonight coming via the special teams. Again, the one, the shorthanded goal from Adam Lowry in the second period. That would be the final goal, the final score of this one. The Blackhawks did have an opportunity after Winnipeg committed a high sticking penalty, put the Hawks back on the power play, but then there was a Seth Jones slashing penalty that I won't say it was questionable, but just a rough spot. Jones just trying to be aggressive, keep the puck in the Jets zone while they've got the man advantage and just gets kind of burned on it. So that erased the Blackhawks' man advantage, put everything on 4-on-4, and then actually gave Winnipeg a man advantage for a little bit of time after that. And again, no goals for the Hawks, but no goals for the Jets either. 12 stops for Dylan Wells in his NHL debut out of 13 shots faced overall. So he does make his NHL debut. Connor Hellebuyck with his 30th shutout of his career, second on the season. And again, we believe his second against the Blackhawks as well. With the loss, the Hawks drop to 5-5-2 on the season. They get back to a hockey 500. Winnipeg improves to 7-3-1. They're riding high. They've now collected at least 1 point in their last six games, 5-0-1. During that stretch. Really quick before we go to a break, and again, want to keep throwing out the number there for you. If you'd like to tune in, 312-981-7200. You could be like Tim from Urbana, blank you and your worthless post-game garbage. So feel free to just say whatever you feel is on your mind. But again, we had Jeffrey from Logan Square pointing out some of the positives that the Hawks have shown this year. I get it. This game, not ideal, but it is one game. We'll see what changes are made next Thursday when the Blackhawks are in L.A. Before we do get to a break, I want to point out something that Luke Richardson had to say about the timetable of Peter Mrazek's return to the Hawks yesterday. Peter Mrazek went down with a groin injury at the earlier part of this year. He has been practicing on the ice with the team. He's been doing a lot of goalie drills. However, they don't want to rush him. And depending on what happens with Arvid Soderblom now, that might not be the case anymore. But the upcoming schedule does work out for the Hawks because they have these next 3 days off. Here's the head coach, Luke Richardson, dissecting that a little bit more.
I think it's mutual. I think it's just smart from speaking with him and what he went through last year, and the training staff just understanding what he went through, and wasn't as bad as probably they thought at the beginning, which was good. But just to take that extra maybe couple days, like, no reason to put him on the bench. Like a situation like Ottawa last night, you know, they have a guy coming off an injury and they put him in on the bench to have a probably get the feel of a game and get a warm up, and then they let 5 goals and they have to put him in. So that's something that you don't want to get into that situation. So I think just knowing we have a 4-day break next week and get a couple real practices, and I think that gives them the extra time.
So again, the Blackhawks will probably get back to practice in Chicago on Monday. Their next game won't be until next Thursday on the road against the LA Kings. They then go to Anaheim on Saturday. Next home game isn't until Monday, November 14th, when they host Carolina. So definitely some much-needed rest for this team, who's been playing at least every other day for the last 2 weeks. We've still got a lot to get to. We will take your calls. We'll take your texts, 312-981-7200. Hawks fall to the Winnipeg Jets 4-0 tonight up in Canada. You're listening to the Blackhawks postgame show on 720 WGN. Blackhawks get shut out up in Winnipeg. 4-0 win for the Jets. The Hawks unable to team up on back-to-back wins. They now move to 5-5-2 with the loss. Winnipeg 7-3-1. They are streaking. I'm Joe Brand. This is the Blackhawks postgame show on 720 WGN. It's time for our three-star selection, which is brought to you by CarStar. Trust CarStar, North America's leading premier collision repair provider. With your collision repair needs, visit CarStar.com to find a Chicagoland location near you. Number three star coming in at Pierre-Luc Dubois. He scored the third goal of the game, a power play goal late in the third period. That one pretty much put the game away, even though there was still 20 minutes to be played. But again, once that third period began, the Blackhawks had to go to their fourth, maybe fifth string goalie in Dylan Wells, who did a nice job in 20 minutes, 12 saves out of 13 shots on goal. But again, Winnipeg pretty much in control after their 2-0 lead. Thanks to Connor Hellebuyck, the Winnipeg goaltender that picked up his 30th career shutout, his second of the year, and the number one star goes to Josh Morrissey. He had the first goal of the game, his first goal of the season as well, a power play goal in the first period. With the Blackhawks' loss, they begin this three-game road trip on the wrong foot, but they do have some time off to rest and regroup. They're going to be visiting the LA Kings on Thursday, so they'll be practicing at home all week up until then. And there's a whole lot of hockey going on today. We have a few out-of-towns to get to, and we're going to start up in the Motor City in Detroit.
A knuckleball shot by Brock Nelson. Now a breakaway for Suter, shorthanded. He comes in on Varlamov. He scores! Wow, what a big goal for the Red Wings. Short-handed goal by Pia Suter makes it 2-0 Detroit.
The former Blackhawk Pia Suter with the short-handed goal, his second goal of the season. Former Blackhawk Dominic Kubalik also scored in that game, his fifth of the season. And so did Lucas Raymond for the Red Wings, his fourth. A 3-0 shutout over the New York Islanders. I believe that gives the Islanders, or rather puts an end to the Islanders' win streak that was part of their visit to Chicago the other day. Red Wings now 6-3-2 on the year. The Islanders 7-5-0. And that call courtesy of Ken Kell from Detroit Radio on 97.1 The Ticket. Let's go to Columbus.
Rolled in on Jonas Korpisalo, and he gives it away to Johnny Gaudreau. Now Andrew Peak, he gives it away, unfortunately, to the Avalanche. McCarr takes a shot. Gavrikov makes the play, and then there's a follow-up chance. And the Avalanche put it in for the score. The puck went around behind the net. Martin Kaut got it on his stick and put it in. A minute 22 seconds into this second period, Colorado retakes the lead. It's 2-1.
That's Bob McGilligan, the voice of the Columbus Blue Jackets from 97.1 The Fan. Blue Jackets are now 3-9-0 to start the year. Columbus, my goodness, Colorado improves to 6-4-1 with the victory. A 5-1 winner for the Avs over the Blue Jackets. As the reigning Stanley Cup champs may have not gotten off to the best start this season, but they're still doing what they need to do against a team like Columbus, who's really struggling. Again, 3-9-0, despite picking up Johnny Hockey this past offseason. Let's now move to Edmonton.
It's tied up by Cody Ceci. Hintz gets a loose puck, gets it out, and the shot, and that goes just over the Oiler net on the right wing. A shot by Robertson, save, rebound, scores! Played in front of the net, and Pavelski taps it home.
A 5-2 lead right now for the Dallas Stars with less than 10 minutes left in the third period. So Dallas with an opportunity to pick up its eighth win of the season. Goals for Edmonton from Leon Draisaitl, his seventh of the year, and Darnell Nurse, his third so far. So Edmonton running out of time as they have a 7-4-0 record. And I believe Connor McDavid's still leading the NHL in goals so far. Our next game preview is featuring a team that the Blackhawks just saw in the LA Kings.
Walker, a stretch pass, Kaliev in the zone, driving down low, center shot, score! Blake Lizotte tips it in. Burst of speed coming through center. Arthur Kaliev moved down to the right circle, threw it in front, and Lizotte tips it in, and the Kings have tied it up here in the second period. It's 1-1.
Nick Nixon of the Kings Audio Network, and that goal might sound a little bit familiar because it was just Thursday night at the United Center, but the Blackhawks able to win it in overtime thanks to a Jonathan Toews goal Thursday night, and fun time over at the UC, but unfortunately not a fun time up in Winnipeg tonight as they get shut out 4-0. Elsewhere around the NHL, just some other games to point out for you. The Arizona Coyotes are beginning a 14-game road trip after they just opened their doors at the new Mullet Arena, where they'll be playing and sharing the facility with the Arizona State Sun Devils. But Arizona ready to get set on a long road trip here in the beginning stages of the year. Both Boston and Vegas are looking for their 11th wins on the season. Boston 10-1-0 to start the year. They're on the road against the Toronto Maple Leafs. Vegas 10-2-0. They're on the road against Montreal. And 14 games total today on the NHL slate. We did get a text here from the 630 area code. And again, if you'd like to call or text, 312-981-7200. Here from the 630, I follow three teams, the Hawks, the Blues, and the Pens. Pens have the oldest roster. What's going on with the other teams? Well, 630, if you follow them, wouldn't you know? But no, appreciate the text. Again, you can too, 312-981-7200. Penguins actually got off to a decent start, but they have had a difficult time holding some leads. They are not quite as profitable as they were at the beginning of the season. They're now 4-5-2, 3-5-2 over their last 10 games. If you really want to know what's going on with the Blackhawks, they just lost 4-0, 5-5-2 to start the year, obviously overcoming expectations in the early going. Today, not the best example of what they've been able to do, but let's face it, the Blackhawks have been hit by the injury bug quite a bit. Again, Seth Jones, their top defenseman, Tyler Johnson, one of their best forwards, and now three, maybe four goaltenders all down. So they are going with a 24-year-old making his NHL debut as their top available goaltender as of right now. And who was the other one? Oh, the St. Louis Blues. Yikes, what a start for them so far, not getting off to what they would have hoped to at all. 3-6-0 to begin the year and a goal differential of minus 14. They're all the way down at the bottom of the Central Division in the Western Conference standings, and they have lost six straight games. The Blues definitely feeling the blues this early going of the NHL season. We've got to take one more break. When we come back, we hope to hear from the head coach, Luke Richardson, and we'll get to a few other things, too. As the Blackhawks fall to the Winnipeg Jets 4-0, you're listening to the Blackhawks postgame show on 720 WGN. Our player with the most heart tonight is sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, with teams that take on the toughest cases at over 200 locations. We'll go ahead and give it to Dylan Wells, who made his NHL debut. That's got to take a lot of heart. In a spot situation, go ahead and go in between the pipes and take on a hot team like the Winnipeg Jets. Make 12 saves out of 13 face shots. No, I don't know who the emergency goalie would have been for the Hawks today. Luckily, it did not get to that point because, man, are the Hawks depleted in the goaltending situation and department health-wise. I'm Joe Brand. This is the Blackhawks postgame show, taking you up to 5:30 tonight. So we do have a little bit more time for some calls and texts if you got them. 312-981-7200. As we wait for sound from Luke Richardson from today's game, let's get to some sound from yesterday that is still pretty significant. And it starts with the job that Caleb Jones has done for this team. With Seth Jones, his older brother, going down, that's the Blackhawks' top defenseman, a huge part of the first power play unit as the quarterback. He had been seeing a lot of success shooting a lot more. Caleb Jones pretty much doing the same thing with all the responsibilities that he has gained since his brother has gone down.
Well, he's such a good skater. I think that really helps. It gets him, moving the puck and, out of tight areas. If teams are trying to forecheck him, I think he's done a great job. And he's added a lot on the offensive side. Like, he really gets pucks through quick, and he doesn't have a 100-mile-an-hour slap shot like Boomer. Like, he's not that type of guy, but he finds sticks like he has the last two games for goals, and those are huge for us. So it's so hard to get pucks through nowadays. Everybody's just trying to block shots, like we saw the Islanders the other night. That's all they do is block shots. So a guy like that can move quick and shoot quick, that's definitely helpful in the back end.
He said he came into the season wanting to work on his defensive game, but the points are coming too. Like, does he have untapped potential offensively too to get?
Yeah, like I said, I don't think he's like the big one-time boomer shooter. He can shoot the puck pretty good, but I think he knows when to get pucks through quick and look for sticks. But defensemen, if you consciously work on your defensive game, the other comes around because you're in less defensive trouble. So that probably is helping him be less in the D zone and then more energy to spend in the O zone and fresher and maybe fresher decisions with his mind to get quick shots through. So that I attribute that. That's a good thing. And we've talked to Seth about that this year too, and I think he's really doing a better job this year at like killing plays with a stick and having good gaps and then thinking about adding into the offense. So I think primarily a defenseman's job is to defend.
I don't know how much you
soft if you take last year, but you notice a difference in body language.
He's definitely looks like, and I wasn't here, so, but if you call it maturity, you know what I mean, and learning that there is going to be some mistakes, but if you can limit them or limit the size of them, I think are huge. And I think his skating ability, just having a little bit of positional adjustments, I think this year has helped him. I've seen him countless times. He's such a good skater. He can fluently pivot and get his shoulder in front of a guy, even though he's not the biggest guy, and he stops the line rush. And he's done that a lot of times this year, which, again, it can counter into offense. You know, he's a good skater. He can join the rush as a fourth man after killing a play defensively. So, you know, him, I think he just came in. Unfortunately, he had a little bit of an injury in training camp, which I thought might hurt him, but he came out of that flying. I thought he came out and he was determined, and he's played really well since he's been back.
A bit of a rough game for Caleb Jones today. Again, I don't think that turnover off his stick that led to the Adam Lowry shorthanded goal was entirely his fault. And I really don't even blame him too much on the slashing penalty in the third period that took away the Blackhawks' man advantage, putting it on 4-on-4. Just an aggressive mindset in that situation came back to bite him. We've got one more Richardson clip to play, and it talks about, or rather, his interpretation of the start that the Blackhawks have gotten into and what that looks like in this short sample of the season we've seen so far.
April. I don't know. It's like
the American Thanksgiving.
No, I don't really believe in that because I've been on both sides of that. So I think, you know, I mean, as soon as you take your foot off the pedal, I think you're in trouble. And I think good teams don't. And there's some teams that are, you know, you think that are really strong teams in the league. They're off to tough starts. And you don't know when that'll end because it's hard to get out of that momentum shift. But, and there's other teams like, you know, New Jersey that maybe surprise people. They're off to a flying start. And Boston's not surprising, but those are crazy numbers. And, you know, I think it's just they get on a rhythm and they have great leaders and they're driven and they're not satisfied with 10-1. They want to go 20-1 or 20-2. And I think that's the mindset we have to have. Like, I think we had a pretty good first month. We were really bad in our first game in November, but I just think, you know, just a few mistakes here and there that we got to start trying to correct and clean up. And I think it's just one at a time, one area at a time. And I think this week is really going to help to have a few practices and a little bit of rest. But you know what? I think you just set small goals and achieve them, but then you're not satisfied. Then you go for that next small goal, like whether it be five games. And, you know, I think individuals should do that for themselves. But I think for ourselves as a team, we haven't really talked about it yet, but I think we should. And put another little goal in front of us, like the month of November, and say, like, can we beat October? And that's a big challenge because we'll have a lot of games coming up after we have this rest and we got some road trips and strong teams. Every game seems to be strong nowadays. So I think that's good. It'll keep us going, keep us on our toes and keep striving for more.
I think the composure is more significant than ever right now because even though this Blackhawks did not go the way that I think anyone would have liked to, there's no reason to jump to conclusions just yet because Luke Richardson isn't a guy that was jumping to conclusions when this team got off to the hot start that it did. And it's somewhat still there, but what he is expecting from his team right now is it's hardworking, hard-nosed effort. And as long as that is still there, I think the majority of people are going to be pleased in this first year of a rebuild. And again, it's not like the entire 60 minutes the Blackhawks were outplayed by the Winnipeg Jets. After a bit of a slow start in the first period, the Blackhawks were able to control the majority of the momentum of that one, and then things took a turn. But like Luke Richardson had just said, good teams don't let their foot off the gas. That's what Winnipeg is doing right now. They're a hot team, a point streak of 6 straight games. They were able to take advantage of every single mistake that the Blackhawks made today, and they really capitalized on the special teams. And we knew that it was going to be a huge factor coming into today's game. And once again, I will reiterate one last time, the Blackhawks are dealing with a heck of a lot of injuries. Again, our next broadcast is next Thursday against the LA Kings when they visit the Kings out in California. Blackhawks hockey has been sponsored by Citgo. Adventure awaits. Fuel up first with Citgo. Budweiser, ComEd for Business, ComEd, powering business, powering lives, and United Airlines, along with Plumbers 911 Chicago. Visit plumbers911.com. for emergency plumbing service. Big thanks to all the help we received here at the station, our producers Ben Anderson and Jimmy Nass, also known as JB Smooth, our engineers of Brett Jackson and Krista Flores, And a big thanks to the help we got out at the Canada Life Center, John Weideman and Kaylee Chelios with tonight's call. I'm Joe Brand. Have a great rest of your weekend. You've been listening to Blackhawks Hockey on 720 WGN.
You've been listening to Chicago Blackhawks Hockey on Blackhawks Radio, 720 WGN. Streaming on WGNRadio.com and smart devices everywhere.